Doc Rivers in the Morning and the greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. KJRFM HD1, Seattle. 95.7 KJR, an iHeartRadio station.
Okay, folks, in just a few minutes, Herman's Hermits Peter Noon will be joining us for a discussion. This should be fun. A teen idol. The kid was 19 years old and a star. He started Herman's Hermits at 15 years old, and he's coming to Snoqualmie. We're going to talk to Peter Noon in just a few minutes. In the meantime, to bring you up to that, reminder, our big Spike in the Impaler show for a charitable organization is next weekend at the Edmonds Center for the Performing Arts, ECA. And if you want to get some tickets, here's just a little bit of some of the new material Spike and the Impalers are doing. Here's Spike singing Little Help from My Friends.
I'm certain it happens all the time.
What do you see when you turn out the light?
I can't tell you, but it sure feels like mine. Oh, baby, I can find
my light.
Oh, you know I
try.
I'm gonna get high.
Yes, that is our very own Spike and the Impalers, and performing in 2 weeks, a week from Saturday, at Edmund Center for the Arts. But let me tell you about something incredible that you can do this Thursday night.
Sharp as hair or something red. But it's sad, she doesn't love me now. She's made it clear enough, it ain't no good to part.
That's Peter Noon. As lead singer for Herman's Hermits, Peter Noon was a huge part of the soundtrack of the 60s on both sides of the Atlantic. Songs like I'm Into Something Good, I'm Henry VIII I Am, Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter, and There's a Kind of Hush. Those songs put Herman's Hermits on the charts, on magazine covers, and on the Ed Sullivan Show. This Thursday night at 7 o'clock, you can hear some of the best music to come over from the British invasion when Herman's Hermits, starring Peter Noon, perform at the Snoqualmie Ballroom. For tickets, go to snowcasino.com or ticketmaster.com, and we have a link to it on our own website, bobrivers.com. What a thrill it is to have teen idol Peter Noon, one of the hottest musicians at a young age in the history of rock and roll, on the phone with us now. Peter, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show.
Good morning, Bob and Spike and Joe. I like that, to get by with a little help from my friends. Good, you guys are good.
Did you actually, you were listening for some of that?
Yeah, I listened to all of it.
Oh, cool. That's our band, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
And
it's not fair because you get your own radio show.
It's completely not fair. Wait a minute. Back in your day, though, if the record company would give the payola, you could get some of that love too, right?
You know, I don't think payola worked. I think that British invasion was just so big that every disc jockey just played everything. I was talking about the British invasion on a British television show, and you know, we would tour in America, and there'd be bands that were on tours that we'd never heard of in England, who just decided that they would be called, like, the Hullabaloos was one of them. And I said, we don't know you're in England. Where are you from? And they go, we're from Hull. You know, that's why they were called the Hullabaloos, but they were not known
as Hullabaloos. So, in other words, a little bit like Seattle in the early 90s, there was something amazing happening, and if you were British, you would get at least an audience to be listened to.
Yeah, and you know, I this BBC, I learn stuff every day, you know, and I realized that England is only as big as Wyoming. And that's why all those English bands, like the Stones and the Beatles and Herman's Hermits and you know, the Searchers and the Troggs and the Kinks, we all kind of knew each other.
Mm.
We all run into each other in like cafes in England on the road, you know, on the road, those places where truck drivers stop and then want to beat you up because you've got long hair and pink trousers.
Big trousers. Hey, Peter, I saw your show last time through, and I've been telling people all morning, it's fantastic, and you still look 12 years old. I don't know how do you do that, but you...
Well, that could be that you might need some new spectacles.
Oh, I see.
When was the last time you got a prescription for your eyes?
Probably not recently, because as we get older, you still look young. So you started Herman's Hermits at 15 years old, right?
Oh, before then, I think it was when we were in 1961. We had a band, which by August of 1964 had become Herman's Hermits somehow.
Okay. So it evolved into Herman's Hermits.
We lived in a van. You know, it was easier because we were much smaller, and there were five people, and we were all too young to drive, so we had to pay somebody to drive us there. Sometimes it was like my uncle Lol or some kid at school whose dad had a newspaper van. And we would drive around England and we'd do loads of concerts. And, you know, bit by bit, we like to think it was because we got good. But, you know, like that Seattle thing, what happened was every other band in Manchester and Liverpool was signed. So we were the next one to sign. So everybody was looking to sign us, and we chose Mickey Most, and our first record was number one.
So you're humbly saying that the timing was very, very good for you. I get that. But you wrote some songs that are spectacular songs to this day. Tell me a little about your songwriting process, if you would. Like Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter. Was there a hot Mrs. Brown daughter that you had the hots for? And was this your way of getting in good with the mom?
Well, I'd like to say that, but I stole it. You know, it was plagiarism. It was just plagiarized, or plaged, as we say.
Plaged. What do you mean by that?
The idea was that there could have been, you know, we were inventive. Herman's Hermits, to be different from the Beatles and the Kinks and all the other, every band, if you notice from that period, was completely different. And not, you know, Herman's Hermits aren't like the Stones, and the Stones aren't like the Beatles.
Yeah.
And none of us are like each other. So we used to do kind of storytelling. I would tell this story about this young man going up to the door and knocking on the door, looking for his girlfriend, but the mother answers, which turned into that story, which becomes Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter. Do you know what I mean? It's nobody knows where that comes from. It's like, it was always about titles, remember? John Lennon was like, it's Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kai. It's not called Mr. Kai. Being for the Benefit of me. So everybody has their reasons to write things. So nobody knows why. I got a song once called God Knows, which was like recorded by Debbie Boone and Denise Williams and all those kind of girl singers. And they thought it was a song about God, but it was actually God Knows, you know. Oh, God knows.
Who knows? Yeah, God knows.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so that became a better title than I thought it was, you know.
And Henry VIII was also, and it wasn't that an old, like, rhyme?
Well, yeah, that was written in 1912 or something, so I can't claim that. I came up with the second verse same as the first, because my granddad, whenever my granddad had it was the strangest drink. He was from Ireland, and whenever he had a drink, he would get on the piano and play I'm Henry. He didn't play the piano. He would get up on the piano and sing I'm Henry VIII. But in the studio, I said, let's do that. Let's do like Henry VIII, like Chuck Berry would do it, right?
Wow. Here it is.
I'm Henry VIII, I am. Henry VIII, I am, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married seven times before, and everyone was an Henry.
Sam. I'm a rainbow man.
That's just such a fun song. So when you did second verse, same as the first, was there a part of you that said, well, I'm being lazy here, I should probably write?
There
was another part that said, that was way too short. We need some more song here.
What were you thinking when you, because that's so funny and charming, and it couldn't be any other way, but what were you thinking?
I was thinking I didn't know the second verse.
I know.
You know, every day when I wake up now, I say, oh, if you'd only written a second verse, the song would have lasted for another 100 years.
No, I disagree. You know, but
it became kind of one of those, there's hundreds of things like that in Beatles songs that people think are relevant. It was just because I didn't know the second verse. We didn't know it was going to be a hit. It was just a recording, remember? But once upon a time, people went in on Monday and made records that came out on Thursday. And that was one of those. It was easy. There was demand for records. And, you know, we would, example, Sam Cooke got shot in Los Angeles on a weekend. And by the next Friday, we had Wonderful World by Herman's Hermits and Bring It On Home to Me by the Animals. And we both recorded it at the same time. You know, we went into the studio in a bank in Manchester and we did our tribute to Sam Cooke.
Right.
And both records were out.
You could make a record in a week and have it out right away and be topical, whereas today they leak it months in advance and the lawyers got to do it. Here's that song.
But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Peter, isn't that a great song?
It's fantastic. Peter, I gotta try and imagine what it's like to be a tender age, 15, 19. You were a teen idol, literally in the covers of these magazines. You had this boyish face, this cute smile, which I don't know how you still do it, but you are still great at that amazing, infectious smile. And then you got married, I think, at age 21. Is that right?
I got married on my 21st birthday, yeah.
Yeah, so so you really only had the teen idol girls throwing themselves at you legitimately for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, right?
Well, now we get bigger girls throwing themselves at you.
Even better.
Yeah. Yeah, your wife is okay with that. I mean, was she ever like, you know, you must...
You know, I got a good one. I got a good one. You know, what happened was that, remember, when we got to America and all those places, we'd been around in other countries for years and years and years. So we were, you know, all those other British groups, like the Beatles in Hard Day's Night and Dave Clark, Five and Catchers, and If You Can, they ran away from girls. Well, you know, we'd seen those movies, so we slowed down for the release. Right.
So you did have an era where you enjoyed the teen idol sensation.
Yeah. You know, like they say, it was sex, drugs, rock and roll. We never had any drugs or rock and roll.
and that's interesting because you avoided the drugs. You a lot of the other bands went through phases where they even probably felt it helped their music. What was it? Were you just conservative in that way? You didn't want to do them?
You know, what happened was I would see people falling, you know, like Brian Jones and people like that. It really isn't good when your friends start to fall apart and die sometimes, you know what I mean? And you, I don't know, I get, we didn't do it because we, you know, I think we were probably more conservative than we thought. We thought we were like the Sex Pistols because we didn't have a plan. You know, there was no plan for the future. And so we thought we were kind of punks. But, you know, as I, in retrospect, Herman's Hermits are really nice guys, you know, from like family type guys. And we were afraid of all that, the dangers of it. You know, we thought that smoking pot was like going to draw us into the next round, which would be the coke, you know. So we just kind of ran away from it a little bit. We used to drink a lot, but we never swallowed.
As much as you wanted a second verse, you weren't going to dare smoke a joint to go look for it.
Well, you know, it wouldn't have really been appropriate. You know, that wouldn't have helped. But what would it have been? I'm Henry the... It would probably be Richard the Second, wouldn't it?
You'd have had to put some artistic...
the regal thoughts wherewith I reigned.
Being for the benefit of Richard the Second.
Yeah. Now, how did you get the name? I'm sure you probably said it a million times, but when I think of Hermit, we had a guy live behind our school when I was a kid in a shack, and we called him the Hermit. It's not a name I would think of for a rock band so much.
Well, you know, what happened, it was we were called Pete Novak and the Heartbeats, and I was Pete Novak. And we thought that Pete Novak was dangerous because it would attract boy band kind of attention, like teen idol kind of attention.
Right.
So we were looking for a name that girls would never scream. And it could have been Hubert.
Hubert's Hermits.
You can't imagine a girl screaming, Hubert!
Well, you were looking to be creative and not predictable in a way, it sounds like. You were looking to be interesting.
We were looking not to be like all the other bands. Yeah. We were trying to be different from every other band.
And you pointed that out about the British Invasion. As much as the bands really knew each other and kept track of what each other's did, like the Stones were really upset when the Beatles did Sgt. Pepper, and they said, we've got to equal it, but they also had to be very different. And you all wanted to be original and creative, but you were all part of the same group of people in a way.
We were. You know, it was quite amazingly. It was like every day was like, if we'd have been plumbers, it would have been the plumbers' meetings. You know, like a it was really a working class. We were all felt charmed for each other, you know. It wasn't competitive. It wasn't a competition, you know. Mm. There were plenty of spots in the charts, you know. We laughed at that thing like Dave Clark, Knox Beatle, off number one. Because we'd heard the Beatles' next record already at Abbey Road, you know. So all that stuff was kind of only the press thought that there was some competition. Mm. But I became Herman because I thought I would look like Buddy Holly, and I had these big horn-rimmed glasses. And this guy in the pub says, who the hell are you doing? You know, I'm going, little thing. And I thought it was kind of obvious I was doing Buddy Holly.
Parody. By the way, speaking of Buddy Holly, we were thinking about him the other day. How old was he when his life and career were cut short? Like 19 or something, wasn't he?
23, 22?
You know, I have no idea.
He was young, but I thought it was younger than that. But, I mean, imagine how many more songs he would have written. And you hear so many people talk about how he influenced them. Would he, you say, was one of your biggest influences?
Oh, yeah, and the Beatles, and the Stones. I mean, the Stones' first record was a Buddy Holly song, wasn't it? Mm. Not Fade Away or something.
Yeah, right? That's true. He was 22 went down. All right, now...
So let me finish my Herman story. So the guy said, you don't look like Buddy Holly. You look like Herman from the Bullwinkle Show. Well, he meant Sherman from the Bullwinkle Show. You remember?
Peabody and Sherman,
The guy with the... And he thought he was being insulting, but he came up with the name. And then another guy, we said, Herman and the... We were looking for a name. Herman and the guy says, call yourself the Hermits because you look like Bloody Hermit. Hey, Herman and the Bloody Hermit.
So wait a minute. Heckler's named your band.
Basically, Heckler.
That's awesome.
So it was almost like Sherman Sherberts or something like that.
Yeah, that's funny.
No, Herman's Hermits were nice boys, but we would have beat you up if you heckled us.
Right.
We would have got to you somehow. We would have got our roadie to hold you down while we kicked you. These were people who, in England, people do that. They feel that they've got a vote. You know, freedom of speech is very common in England. You know, it's like, I remember Bruce Springsteen at Wembley, and he's going on about Farm Aid and everything, you know, and all these people have paid, and somebody shouts out, yo, boss! And he stops the show, and he goes, yeah? And the guy says, write a check. You know, people get to say things like that in England.
Now, are you over here now, Peter? Did you marry an American girl, or is your wife from Britain?
No, she's actually from France. So
she's a French woman.
We're a bit mixed up, and we live in two places. We've got an apartment in London, and we've got a little house in Santa Barbara, California. So we spend... 50%, this year 60% of the time in America. I mean, I go to England on March the 1st until May the 5th. So,
and your wife, you and I, she have been married for like 40-something years, right?
You know, it's going to be 44 years.
I was testing to see if you knew the exact number. Yes.
Helping anybody out.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to start lying because it makes us sound very old, doesn't it?
is she...
I feel sorry for my wife, you know, because she was 16, so people look at her and go, 44 years? She must be like 80. You know what I mean? So that's what people... So,
she was 16 when you guys met?
Yeah, you know, it's a family tradition. My mother got married on her 16th birthday.
Wow, when you married, she was 16. That's not even legal.
I was 21, though. I was a man.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's normal at that time. It's not so weird. Does she? What kind of show business wife is she? Is she the kind who just doesn't really think that much of you as a teen idol, or is she also a fan?
She just doesn't think that much of me at all.
I didn't know the guy.
Good woman.
There's two kinds of show business wife.
You know, with a, yeah. like a newer model.
So you come back from a show all pumped up, and she says, take out the garbage, basically.
Well, I do take out the garbage, you know, because I came from, you know, I came from this family that I didn't realize was poor. And I remember everybody worked. When I was a kid, my parents went to the Second World War. I was born after the Second World War, but my parents had to go back to university. So I lived with my grandmother. And I realize now that my sister and I grew up on sugar sandwiches and condensed milk sandwiches. And when I got to America, I was 110 pounds on my green card, and now I'm 110 kilos.
Oh, you still look great. Peter, I saw your last show here. I think it was also at Snoqualmie, and I must say, I walked in not knowing entirely what to expect because, you know, some legacy acts tour, and it's okay, and some really...
Legacy.
Really, I know. I'm sorry. That's a terrible word. That's like 44 years of marriage. But some, you know, some are making a, you know, some are collecting a paycheck, and some are genuinely, infectiously fun and having a great time on stage. And your smile and your interactions with the audience, what an experience! Plus, you also play some of the other hits of the time that are not yours because you just want to make the crowd happy, right?
Well, you know, I play songs that amuse me, and I'm lucky because some of my own songs still amuse me greatly, which could be, you know, I think it was like Father Hines at my school called me Panglossian, and I think that's the perfect word. You know, I mean, I know you guys are busily Googling it or something right now, but Panglossian means like naively optimistic. Mm. And, you know, I am naively optimistic. I truly think that there's good stuff coming around the corner all the time. You know what I mean? Maybe once after the debate.
Something then, tells me then, I'm into something good. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and I think the audience... See, I'm an audience. I go to loads of shows. I go and see ZZ Top, and I go to every concert I can go to. When I get in the town early, I go and see a concert. It doesn't matter what level, in a bar, in a casino, in a stadium. And, you know, I'm sometimes disappointed because you can see that maybe they don't like that song as much as the next one and they'd really be playing rhythm and blues, or they'd like to do a long version of I Get By With A Little Help From My Friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has kept me in order all these years. You know, I kind of am the audience. And when I was a kid, I would go and see the Everly Brothers and see how much joy they had that the audience knew their songs. And I'd go and see Roy Orbison, and I'd feel that buzz. And now you go and see, like I went to an oldies concert, and Jerry and the Pacemakers, Jerry started singing, life goes on day after day. You know what? I got a buzz, which is probably better than all you guys who did all that marijuana and LSD.
Right.
And I'm telling you that's what music sort of delivers to me
in many versions.
And sometimes being the deliverer is also kind of fulfilling.
Is the Jerry and the Pacemaker show sponsored by a pacemaker company now? Is that
no? But Jerry has a pacemaker.
He does have one. Really perfect. Peter Noon. Peter, the show Thursday, 7 o'clock at the Snoqualmie Casino. I saw you last time, and I said, I'd love to get a chance to talk to him someday. I'm glad we did, and I hope to see you and shake your hand that night, if that's possible.
Well, please come and say hello. We love to meet people. That's part of the thing. After every show, you know, I go out into the lobby and shake hands and hope people have got lots of Facebook friends when they take that picture with me.
Well, then they must... You're in Snoqualmie on Thursday. You're in Indiana on Friday. You're in Calgary, Alberta on Saturday. I don't know when you get a chance to see other bands.
Well, you know what? It's quite amazing. On the days off, it's like this weekend I was in Las Vegas, and I could have seen, you know, 15 different bands. It's just amazing. You would be surprised how many people play at different hours. Like, we did our show at 7:30 and we came off at 9 o'clock. I could have gone and seen Brad Paisley. You know, there are plenty of people working late, you know, and people working late early. and I live in Santa Barbara and London. And, you know, I was in Nashville and I saw 15 shows when I was in. I even saw Fleetwood Mac, who are fantastic. They play all their hit songs.
And so does he. Peter Noon. Peter, it's a pleasure, and we look forward to seeing you Thursday night. A big smile will be on your face if you're at the Snoqualmie Casino at 7 o'clock. Take care, Peter.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Tells me I'm into something good. Something tells me I'm into something.
listening to The Bob River Show on 95.7 KJR. 95.7 KJR is ready to open the vault, unlock the safe, and give you what's inside. $1,000 in KJR cash, plus a chance to win the $50,000 grand prize. So yeah, you want in? Listen to The Bob River Show weekdays at 7:05 for contest times and win KJR cash from 95.7 KJR.
Your dream challenge today and you could win up to $10,000 and receive one-on-one dream coaching with a motivational mentor. Share your dreams and get official rules at longlivedreams.com. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it.
American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its subsidiaries. Home office, Madison, Wisconsin. No purchase necessary. Contest ends February 26th. How long should your dreams live?
Long enough to pay off the house.
Long enough to send the kids to college.
Your dreams should live forever. So help protect them with American Families Life Insurance. Use our online life needs calculator or find an agent at amfam.com to find out how much coverage is right for you and your family. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent at amfam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
Life insurance underwritten by American Family Life Insurance Company. Home office, Madison, Wisconsin.
If you're thinking of selling your unwanted gold, silver, or jewelry, go to West Seattle Coins or Bellevue Rare Coins. They'll pay you more money.
Have you heard the news? So there's this Dodge Durango that can get over 500 highway miles on a single tank of gas, okay? It also has best-in-class power, best-in-class towing numbers, up to 7,400 pounds, and a premium soft-touch interior with seating for seven, right? But here's the thing. They're pricing it a lot lower than anybody could have imagined. For how long, I'm not sure, but if I were you, I wouldn't wait around for a punchline. The 2012 Dodge Durango. Now get a no extra charge Hemi V8 plus 0% APR financing on the 2012 Dodge Durango, equipped with Hemi V8 engine. Hurry to your Dodge dealer today. Range based on 3.6 liter V6, EPA estimated 23 miles per gallon highway. Actual results may vary. Based on 2011 Ward segmentation, combination of horsepower and torque. Towing claim applies when properly equipped. No extra charge Hemi V8 offer based on factory to dealer reimbursement. Dealer contribution may affect final price. See participating dealer for details. Residency restrictions apply. Offers end 131. Dodge is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
How do you describe Nally Pickles? For most people across the Northwest, the answer is easy.
Crispy.
Crunchy.
Yummy.
Crispy.
Crunchy.
Yummy.
Nally Pickles.
That's because Nally makes their pickles Northwest style. Born near Tacoma in 1918, Nally has exclusive Northwest style spicing recipes and only use crunchy young cucumbers for that fresh Northwest flavor every time. All for three simple words.
Crispy.
Crunchy.
Yummy.
No wonder Nally is the Northwest's favorite pickle, because their Northwest style simply makes them taste the best. So let's take this pickle home.
Crispy.
Crunchy.
Yummy.
Nally Pickles.
Crispy.
Crunchy.
Yummy.
Crispy.
Crunchy.
Yummy.
Nally Pickles.
Serve crispy, crunchy, yummy Nally Pickle Spears and sandwich slicers at your big game party. Be sure to stock up today.
Tom and Laura are throwing their first big game party, and they will think an ice sculpture is a good idea when all they really need are delicious Ritz crackers and refreshing Coke Zero. Instead, Tom and Laura will be left with a pool of water in their living room. Log on to MyCokeRewards.com for your chance to win a lifetime supply of Ritz crackers and Coke Zero. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 13 and older who are MyCoke Rewards members. Void where prohibited. Instant win game ends February 15, 2012. For rules, alternate method of entry, and complete details, visit MyCokeRewards.com/win.
When you compare USAA Bank to other banks, it's easy to see what a difference military values can make. As a matter of integrity, we offer free checking with no monthly service fee and no monthly debit card fees. As a matter of principle, we offer one of the lowest rates in the nation on USAA Bank credit cards, which include free rewards programs with no expiration dates and no redemption fees. We also offer special benefits for active military. Our commitment to serve the military, veterans, and their families makes USAA Bank fundamentally different. And what makes USAA Bank different can mean better banking for you, starting right now. Visit usaa.com/banking today or call 800-531-8722. USAA Bank. We know what it means to serve.
Some restrictions apply. Credit cards provided by USAA Savings Bank and other bank products provided by USAA Federal Savings Bank, both member FDIC.
I know when my son is coming to visit because I can hear his motorcycle from 5 blocks away. My dog gets so scared she won't come out from behind the couch. Stupid contraption. He loves it, though. Says it gives him a sense of freedom. Gives me a headache.
There are people who don't understand the way you live. There's an insurance company that does. Safeco Insurance, for auto, home, motorcycle, and more. Find an agent at Safeco.com. Coverage by Safeco Insurance Company of American affiliates, Seattle, Washington. Safeco Insurance. Do more.
Kickstart 2012 with Spike and the Impalers' first show of the year as they return to Edmond Center for the Arts Saturday, February 11th at 8 p.m. The band will be rested and ready to rock. So bring the whole family for a night of great classic rock. Tickets are only available by calling the ECA box office at 425-275-9595. Or online at ec4arts.org.
Listen, I'm going to give you the chance to win $1,000. Imagine $1,000, actually a 50-inch high-def TV to watch the Super Bowl, because that's what I would buy if I get $1,000. Simple. Listen today at 11.05 a.m. and 1.05 p.m. with Lori Bradley and 3.05 and 5.05 p.m. with Steve Slayton for your chance to win $1,000 and qualify for the $50,000 grand prize. With that money, I can get Tom Brady to eat nachos with me.
State Farm Traffic Center. I'm Danielle. We do have a couple incidents going on. 520 westbound at the Western High Rise. We got a stall blocking the right lane, and it is causing a tad bit of a delay both directions, actually, of 520. On the Valley Freeway, though, the situation is much worse at South 212th in the northbound lanes. We have a collision blocking the two right lanes and partially blocking, I think, a third lane as well. In either way, it's pretty nasty, and you've got a gross backup all the way out to Willis at this point. If you're headed north on the Valley Freeway right now, I would reroute your drive, get off at 516 and head on over to I-5. We do also have another incident, I-90 eastbound at East Mercer Way. We just cleared up a crash there, so you are going to see some pretty heavy volumes in those eastbound lanes across the midspan. Traffic is brought to you by McDonald's. For a limited time only at McDonald's, try the new Chicken McBites, made with juicy pieces of bite-sized premium chicken breast and savory home-style seasoning. Try a snack size for $1.99. The simple joy of bite-sized enjoyment that's big on taste. And coming up on the Bob Rivers Show, weather god Steve Poole from Como TV.
You're listening to The Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KJR.
There's a lot of slush all over the world. A couple weeks ago, the weather guy, smart to come in on a very sunny day. We have an old friend of the show and one of Seattle's greatest television personalities in the studio. Just dropped in this morning, Steve Poole. And Steve, it's good to see you.
It's good to be here. I tell you, I have to admit, I'm a little surprised by how much sun we're getting.
Unusual for February or not? Do we usually get a break like this in the winter? I don't remember.
Well, we can. You know, we got one in December there for a while, but we paid the price. The last couple of weeks have been interesting. But, it's not hugely unusual. And it's other than some rain tomorrow and tonight and tomorrow, it looks like we've got a pretty good stretch coming up.
Big story on last night about the whole country, how this winter, they called it January because it's so much above average in the rest of the country.
Well, anytime you get those big swings, if you're abnormally warm, there's an analog to that, and it's abnormally cold somewhere not too far away. So the more dramatic the swings, if you get really warm, that means that you're probably going to get really cold at some point.
Well, where the abnormal cold has been this year that I've noticed is Alaska. I mean,
that is insane. And that's another thing to watch for. If you see a lot of cold air kind of piling up in Alaska, that stuff usually has our zip code. And
so you're saying that Alaska isn't usually cold, Joe?
I'm saying
they got snow.
I'm saying 50, 60 below. Oh, I'm saying the average temperature in Anchorage for the month of January was 2 degrees.
That's insane.
Steve, you've been the weather guy for this town as long as I can remember.
I'm reading here he's been the weather guy since 1913 on
1913
when they first brought you out.
I was kind of a prodigy, you know. started when I was quite young.
Do you think that there's a, I mean, is it harder now to predict weather in this town? I'm not asking if you buy global warming or anything.
What do you mean,
stuff.
Is it harder?
I mean, given that the last 20 years, climate change, extreme weather change seems to be the norm, is it harder to tell what's coming our way?
Well, not really. In fact, if anything, we've gotten better at it. I think what we have difficulty conveying is kind of the nuance of weather. Now, what I mean by that is, I mean, we've got this area where, you've got an ocean, you've got an inland sea, you got two mountain ranges, you got a desert and a rainforest, all within a space of about 200 miles. Mm-hmm. So that means you get incredible complexity. So when we talk about something like snow, and I say, there's a chance of snow, and I'm very specific about the time and where it might be, but nobody hears that nuance.
The snow times itself usually when you're on vacation. Somehow this time you were around for this one.
You know, it's funny. That happens a lot. And at first I thought, well, it's just a coincidence, but now I'm starting to go, okay, there's something weird going on here.
You're like an insider trader. Yeah. You're like, I got intel. Hey, boss, you don't mind if I take next week off, do you?
Well, the good news is, if you just look, if I'm gone, you should be gone, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's your sign right there.
So when he started at Como, it was when the Mod Squad was on TV, I believe.
And I looked like Link.
Wow.
And he has Link hair. You've heard us say that on the radio, haven't
yes,
you? I say that a lot about you.
But let's
say that was a different time.
I mean, a different time.
Were you like an affirmative action kind of hire back then?
You know, I didn't think about it at the time. But,
of course you didn't.
You know,
happy to have a job.
Because I'm great.
No, because I could actually have the mustache go around the corner.
You know what I mean?
Wow. I can do that back then. In fact, I can remember very well.
Well, it was a progressive city even then,
yeah,
correct?
But I can remember even at that time, you know, at one point the GM came to me and says, you know, you got to lose the corners there, baby.
Yeah.
You know?
The pool Manchu was.
Yeah, the pool Manchu was not working.
So
you know?
you were counseled in terms of your mustache.
Etiquette. You know, it's been very consistent ever since. In fact, I cannot remember not having a mustache. I mean, I feel like I was born with it.
Me too.
Which is weird.
It would be wrong to see you without one now. It would be like they hired a different guy.
I did. I accidentally shaved it off at one point.
You did?
Yeah, seriously. You know, what I was doing, I was shaving, and, you know, I thought, well, I'll just kind of clip the corner a little bit.
Oh, you took too much. Yeah.
And I took too much. So then I thought, okay, I got to balance that out. So I started working on the other
side. I've done it. Then he ends up with this little tiny thing in the middle. He goes, that ain't going to work.
No. First is Japanese.
That's not a good look for the
kid. Then it's German, and then you got to take it off.
That's another whole thing. You know,
there's a higher pressure.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's very tough.
That's not going to work.
And by the way, when did this accident happen?
This was many years ago.
Many years ago.
Yeah,
but I mean,
spring of 41.
As a TV guy, like if I, you know, if I blow something in the morning, it doesn't matter. I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
But as a TV guy, when you mess up your face,
you know, people notice.
Did
that.
It freak you out?
Well, you know, I kind of thought it was okay. You know what actually happened, though?
And then the same general manager come to you and say, no, hey,
like, put this on.
No, it's funny. They didn't say much of anything, but I looked at here. Just
hello, it's Steve Poole. Here's the weather, man. It's going to be hot. I mean, damn hot. It's a lot of hot.
Yeah, just give me some of that special. What do you call that glue? Stick that
spirit
on
gum?
Yeah, just put some spirit gum on it. But now, actually, you know, I always remember this. My nephew looked at me and he said, Uncle Steve, you shaved off your mustache. And I said, yeah. He goes, grow it back.
When everybody knows.
Yeah,
that's interesting because some people can't wear them. Do you like being on TV, being a TV icon? Do you drive by a billboard and does it feel weird? I feel weird when I drive by a billboard of me.
It's a little strange. But, you know, I didn't go into this business for that reason. I just kind of enjoy the process. I mean, to me, it's like I'm talking to my friends. You know, I mean, we're like we're doing here. We're just sitting around. We're talking. Yeah, there's a camera there, so it's a little, you know, there's a separation. It's not like, you know, there's other people around. But I kind of feel like that. I just feel like, hey, here's what's going on. And I like that process. I like being able to take a whole bunch of complicated information and then just being
boil
able
it down
to,
for people.
Yeah, just kind of sit down and say, okay, here's the deal. Here's what's going to go on. That's
cool.
Part.
I think we have that in common a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you have any anonymity? I mean, when you walk into every place, you're Steve Poole. No one, you never like. You must be 1,000% recognized.
I don't know. Other people do that kind of research. So I don't
the
know.
Q rating and all of
well,
that.
Well, your Q rating when you go to the grocery store is pretty high. Somebody probably asks you what the weather's going to be.
Do people not bother you a lot of the time so you don't know if they're recognized?
Well, no, they come right up.
You know? No, they do. Gladys, so nice to meet you.
Yeah. You know? But it was so weird when I first started because, you know, I mean, you're conscious that people watch, but I don't know about the numbers. And it was kind of interesting, you know, people come, and it's like they know you, you know, and they're just like, hey, Steve, well, you know, I'm thinking about my insurance. What do you think about whole life or term? What do you think on that, buddy? You know,
like, people, you're a face and a voice. People trust. You've been there. Right, you've been there for a long time
I
for
appreciate
people.
That.
Steve Poole once said to us on the show that he would get on stage and sing with Spike and the Impalers. And I don't know who dropped the ball or whether.
I think it's a little bit me. I mean, I still like the idea.
Do like so, the idea, but we never followed up with a formal invitation.
Wow.
And you didn't like, well, I would expect you, not expect you to pester me.
Well, yeah,
of course.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You're not the pester type.
No, I'm not.
But now we're pestering you because sometime soon, and I'd like to actually, the we way I'd to like get, to do it,
yes.
And then this is, I mean, you might like this. Or I'm cornering you, one of the two.
I guess we'll know after you tell me.
We'll know
me.
In a moment.
Yes.
The way I'd like to do it is I'd like to get you in the recording studio and record you and make a music video of you doing whatever song we're going to do.
Really?
Wow. And the reason for that is you work at a place that can show moving pictures.
Is that what we do?
It's not that I love you and want to make a cool video for you. Actually, it is that, too. But people should be able to see you on YouTube doing James Brown or whatever. And it's actually not James Brown right now because of what President Obama did.
Oh, now, are you going to spring this on me here? Are you going to – do I have to do some Al Green here? Is that the deal? Because, you know –
No.
Steve Poole.
Is this my key? I don't know.
Let's see what happens.
One, two, three.
I'm so much in love with you. Whatever you want me to. I'm not sure about the words. It's all I need.
That's great for no preparation.
Yeah.
That's it. By the way, from now on the show,
beautiful.
Everybody sings a karaoke track.
You just assume he knows that.
Yeah, one. He just wants to keep going.
Why you do that?
Man, it's golden. No. Now we're going to the studio. Yeah.
It's like bungee jumping. We pull you up before you hit the water.
Yeah. That's what friends do.
But let me tell you, on that trip down, I was worried.
All right,
the water's getting close. Oh, my God.
This time we mean it. We're really going to make it happen. Steve Poole, Como 4.
Thank you, guys.
Part of the longest running news anchor team in the history of television.
Yeah.
Third longest in the entire United States. Him, Dan, and Kathy.
Who knew that? Believe me, I don't even know what to say about that.
Stability. You are stability.
Well, thank you.
It's 9:50 and time to close our show with Hometown Smackdown.
People voted for that one.
All right, Lance is the defending champion. The way Hometown Smackdown works is you come on, you smack down the town that's challenging you. You're proud of your hometown. And the first one of you that doesn't know the answer to a question about your hometown,
oh dear,
is eliminated. The reigning champion has been Lance from Tacoma for unbelievable, like over a week. Right?
Yes, more than a week now. Lance has been our winner.
Almost eliminated once when no one would get a wrong answer. He held in there. I gotta say, Lance, I was saying earlier you haven't earned it, but on that day last Friday, you kind of did because you answered every question and we ran out of time.
Well, kind of. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
I thought about it, and I amended it.
All right. I appreciate that.
I thought you might smack me down if I didn't.
Well, what town are you from? That depends.
Oh, we're not talking about my town today.
Today, you got your work cut out for you, though, because I've lived in Renton, and there's some pretty smart people in Renton.
Terry from Renton, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Terry. You're the challenger on Hometown Smackdown. Is there anything you want to say about Tacoma?
Well, I don't want to pick Tacoma apart. I don't like the place, and I'll just stand up for Renton.
That's it. He's going to be very simple about it. Lance, in Tacoma, what do you feel about Renton?
Well, first of all, I love Jimi Hendrix, so I have a reverence because Uncle Jimmy's buried there. But, you know, I was there some years ago with my baby cousin, the Tylenol. And we call him Fat Mike. And, you know, just walking through that town, it made a brother from Tacoma just say, God damn, I mean, it was pretty bad, man. And
you didn't like Renton. Okay. Very nice. I like Clinton and all. That's very good. Okay. Are you guys ready? The challenger must answer a question to get into the game. Are you there, Terry, ready for a question about Renton?
Yes, sir.
True or false? Before Renton was incorporated, it was known as South Bellevue. True or false?
Well, that'll be false.
That is completely
that
false.
That would be false.
Well done, sir.
Wow.
You're in the game.
Renton much older than Bellevue.
All right, I'm going to root for you to knock Lance off, not because I don't love him, because he's been on for a long time. But if you do knock him off, you got to write some jokes, okay? That's the deal, Terry. Okay. You'll have 24 hours. Lance, defending your championship.
All right.
True or false? It is possible to get a four-year degree attending the University of Washington without ever leaving Tacoma.
Bob, I'm going to go with false.
Ah, it's true!
Gotcha! Oh, no. It is true!
Completely true.
Renton asked Lance about education.
Way to trick him up, yeah. Lance, it has been a wonderful run. Thank you very, very much for being with us on Hometown Smackdown. You set the bar high.
And go visit that big UW satellite campus down there in Tacoma, right off Pacific.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Oh, poor Lance.
He sounds actually legitimately disappointed.
Bad now, don't you?
Terry, congratulations. You are the reigning champion for Renton right now. Terry, do you have a Facebook page or something?
Do I? Yes, sir.
All right. Use our Facebook page. And people, help him with Renton. Help him with smackdowns for other towns. We got to find a town that for him to smackdown. We'll post it on Facebook. We're going to take the 10th caller right now at 877-901-0957 to be the brand new challenger on Hometown Smackdown. And Terry, we'll post all that on our Facebook later, and you guys can prepare for tomorrow. Remember, learn a little bit about your town's history and smack down the other town. Yep. Our news, just a quick headline before we go, is brought to you by...
Brought to you by USAA and Fred Meyer. Quick note, Stephen Colbert may have been making a joke when he talked about running for president, but he raised some serious money. His super PAC raised more than $1 million. Tomorrow we'll tell you what he plans to do with it.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Yes.
And from Palmer Wharf Antique Show, the UW got a piece of news today. One of the top recruits in America, a safety by the name of, let me get this right here, Shaq Thompson.
Nah.
Was going to go to Cal, said, no thanks, I'm coming to the UW, play ball for Steve Sarkisian.
Before we go today, Steve Poole, I don't know if you're familiar with the last word of the day. We just pick a word out of the English language. It's your day. Go ahead.
All right. The word is solstice.
You're listening to The Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KJR.
Rewarding a student is a great way to build self-esteem, but those little expenses add up. Hi, this is Chris Daughtry. Each year, teachers spend over $400 of their own money on their students. DonorsChoose.org is an online charity that makes it easy for you to help students in need. Join Chase and Clear Channel Communities in supporting DonorsChoose.org, where you will find hundreds of projects to help students build self-esteem. Thanks to the leadership of Chase, every dollar you donate will be matched up to $250,000. Go to donorschoose.org/Chase.
All right, it's no secret, I'm a Baltimore fan. So this Sunday I got to watch New England take on New York. It's going to break my heart. I think it's not going to break. It's not going to make me fat. It's not going to break my back. This Sunday it's going to be about football. It's going to be about great commercials. It's going to be about food, but it's not going to be about regret because I'm not going to eat too much. I'm going to take Healthy Trim in the morning. I do it every morning. And I'm going to eat the foods I love, buffalo wings. I'm going to snack on a sub. I'm just going to eat less. And I'm not going to gain weight. I've already lost over 30 pounds on Healthy Trim. It controls my appetite. I don't have the cravings for all these sugars, these carbs, these 8-foot sandwiches that I know will be there, Steve. You can do it too. Take a Healthy Trim in the morning. Eat less this Sunday. Give them a call, 855-888-TRIM. 855-888-TRIM. It's a 30-day guarantee. If it doesn't work for you, they will give you your money back. Complete refund if it doesn't work. But it does. HealthyTrim.com is the website. That's HealthyTrim.com. And you can also find them at select GNC stores. Let's get high school skinny, Seattle.
There's a group of people who sleep a whole lot better than everybody else.
They're the 7 million who night after night enjoy the personalized comfort of the Sleep Number bed. The bed that adjusts to every curve of your body to create an irresistible haven of sleep. And now, the company that redefines sleep is redefining memory foam. Introducing the Sleep Number Memory Foam Bed. The only bed that combines cool contouring gel foam with the amazing adjustability of the Sleep Number bed. It's the most ingenious memory foam bed ever, and it invites you to escape into deep, nurturing sleep. And right now, only at the Sleep Number store, you'll find our all-new memory foam bed at introductory savings of $400 off Queen and King mattress sets. And during our white sale, stock up and save on our exclusive bedding collection, but only through February 2nd at the Sleep Number store, where Queen mattresses start at just $6.99.
There are 400 Sleep Number stores nationwide, including six in the Seattle area. For your store, visit sleepnumber.com.
For a burst of freshness in the middle of our long Northwest winter, look no further than your neighborhood QFC. We partner with growers in a variety of climates and regions to bring you healthy, flavorful fruits and vegetables year-round. And this week is no exception. We've got beautiful, ripe strawberries arriving fresh, and 16-ounce cartons are two for $4. Also this week, stop by the meat department for a great buy on certified Angus beef boneless flank steak. Just $5.99 a pound in the value pack. And it's a good time to save on locally produced favorites in dairy, including Tillamook cheese and Mountain Dairy milk. This week only, 2-pound bars of Tillamook medium cheddar cheese are $5.99 each, and selected gallons of Mountain Dairy milk are just $2.59 each. All prices with Advantage Card. QFC, you know it's going to be good.
Want to earn $25 in free groceries? Transfer a qualifying prescription to your QFC pharmacy and receive a $25 reward on your Advantage Card. See store for details.
My journey to help save people money on car insurance brings me to Seattle, where I've learned that coffee houses are a great place to talk about Geico's discounts. They're also a great place to drink coffee. Why, today alone, I've had an espresso, a latte, a cappuccino, a French roast, a Viennese roast, a café au lait, which I always thought was olé, like it in Spanish, but it's actually French for, with milk. Then I had a triple shot macchiato, skinny egg.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
My wireless internet bill was really adding up. So to save some money, I just used my neighbor's unpassword-protected Wi-Fi for free.
It's unpassword-protected because the signal doesn't go outside of the house. Now get off my couch.
Not to mention, I recharge my laptop for free.
Mm-hmm, not free.
And while I wait for all my downloads, they really need more bandwidth. I just grab a soda. Not much of a diet fan, but beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging, you're just choosing.
Neighbors are great.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office.
The new Chrysler 300C makes a statement. With its sculpted exterior, available 20-inch wheels, dual exhaust tips, and even available front ventilated seats, there's simply nothing else like it. But where we sit, it's a bigger statement that's not just about physical beauty or the sum of its parts. It's a statement about the passion, dedication, and hard work that went into it. The Chrysler 300. Speak softly and make a big statement.
Now, well-qualified lessees can get the 2012 Chrysler 300 sedan for $339 a month for 36 months with $29.99 due at signing. Tax, title, and license extra. Hurry to your Chrysler dealer today. Call 1-888-CHRYSLER for details. Requires dealer contribution and lease through Ally. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 131. Chrysler is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
Bundle 12 meg CenturyLink high-speed internet and your monthly rate won't change for 5 years. But other things will, like athletes will hit their prime.
I'm a beast.
Then let themselves go.
Oh, cramp, cramp.
But with the CenturyLink price lock guarantee, your high-speed internet monthly rate stays the same for 5 years. $19.95 a month when you bundle with unlimited calling. No contract, guaranteed. Click CenturyLink.com/5 years. Service and offer not available in all areas. Restrictions apply. Residential customers only. Contact CenturyLink for details.
When you compare USAA Bank to other banks, it's easy to see what a difference military values can make. As a matter of integrity, we offer free checking with no monthly service fee and no monthly debit card fees. As a matter of principle, we offer one of the lowest rates in the nation on USAA Bank credit cards, which include free rewards programs with no expiration dates and no redemption fees. We also offer special benefits for active military. Our commitment